Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We are going to put a bright solar spotlight on the Southwest for these next 30 minutes. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world because you matter to us. And our thanks to the City of Tucson Environmental Services for their sponsorship of this show and for being overall wonderful partners with Mrs. Green's world in general, and they truly are. We appreciate their support and all the important work they do to make our community more sustainable in a myriad of ways. We've had Christina Palsgrove on the show and other guests from the city. They're doing the good work. And to find out more about their important work, please visit them at tucsonaz.gov/environmental services. And of course, the never-ending follow them on Facebook, the City of Tucson. And one I would strongly recommend is Do More Blue, because sometimes the work of the city isn't that much fun. It's really important, but the Do More Blue Facebook page is fun. It has great hints about how you can recycle and the horrible things that get recycled. So check those out. Now let's talk about the city's Got Solar, and I'm talking about the City of Tucson. They're walking the walk when it comes to renewable energy and moving forward in a regular fashion. And joining me in studio to tell us all about it is Jason Laros, Energy Manager, City of Tucson. Welcome, my friend, and thanks for being here with me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We were doing a little bit off, you know, before air chatting, and we've known each other for about 10 years, and you were involved in some other work, and I was Mrs. Green, but I was only 1 year old then. So, and baby, look at me now. It's 10 years.
Don't look a day over two, though.
I know, right? That's great. Keep that coming. I have the perfect face for radio, as they say. I like that joke. So we're going to talk a lot about solar. But before we begin, I want to do a shout out for something that's coming up for the people that listen that live in Tucson or in the surrounding area. And it's one that the City of Tucson, again, steps up. Christina Palsgrove supporting the Arizona Living Economy Forum. It's at the YWCA on Sunday, September 17th from 12:30 to 5:30. And it's just, I was trying to tell you, Jason, why I love it. It's about local partnerships. It's about local community, building community, being around like-minded people or people that you'd like to have your mind be like. Kimber Lanning from Local First is going to give the keynote, and she's a rock star nationally, locally, regionally. So it's something that you don't want to miss. You can find out more about it by visiting mrsgreensworld.com. It's on my homepage, and we hope you'll be there. It's $10. What a way to spend the afternoon. And that's going to include free refreshments at the end of we're going to have a social hour. Of course, everything ends with a social hour, but the City of Tucson Environmental and General Services is one of our major sponsors. So thanks for letting me take some of your time to do that. Let's talk about solar now.
Well, yeah, I'm going to tell everybody I know about it. So
yes,
be great.
Please. I made him swear before we got on air. Please tell at least 10 people, because there's going to be a lot of important information covered and the panels are fun. So let's talk about you and what the City of Tucson in general has been up to when it comes to climate change and energy and sustainability. They're definitely engaged. So what's happening?
Yeah, it's one of the things we're trying to, in fact, improve. We were talking earlier also about getting the word out, being good at, it's almost like marketing in
yes,
a way.
Yes, it is. Branding.
Branding, yeah. In fact, I'm the third energy manager. There's been two others before me. One of them still works at the city doing other things as an administrator. And so for over 20 years, the city's employed a full-time energy manager.
Which is great in and of itself. It's a commitment.
And one of the things that we're trying to get better at is tracking, you know, what we've done in the past. It's hard to measure avoided costs sometimes.
And tell the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Recently there's been a lot of news. You know, we have major storms happening. We have a lot of people very concerned about climate change, and they're becoming a more vocal part of the community, coming to mayor and council meetings, speaking their mind, which is really good.
A lot of advocacy. You're seeing it.
Yeah. they're engaging in this process. And one of the constraints and challenges that the city has is budgetary, of course. And they've been trying to find ways to become more efficient in their operations. And one of the things they've done is change up their boards, commissions, and committees. And one of those is there's going to prop up a new commission called the Commission on Climate, Energy, and Sustainability. And I just feel so lucky that I get to work with that group as city staff, and that group will be in folks that are from around our community.
That's what I was going to ask you, like, who is going to be on it, letting their voices be heard? Will the U of A be involved, major player? Who do you know yet who's going to be, you know, being a part of making that change happen?
It's not decided yet. We know there'll be representatives from the sustainability community, from the utilities, from probably businesses. The commission isn't finalized yet in its membership, but
the 2030 district,
right?
Emerging 2030 district. They're doing great things. They've been on the show.
They really are.
That's exciting, and it will have some teeth.
Well, their role will be to advise mayor and council.
Got it.
They'll get to speak to our representatives and decision makers.
And our mayor listens. Jonathan Rothschild cares.
Yeah, absolutely.
He does.
He's really helped frame the goals of my program as an energy manager. And also now I'm involved with the waste diversion team. And so I get to work. You mentioned Christina Polesgrove and Sherry Ludlam and Ernesto Vallarde and Mandy Leatherland. We have a small team of people who kind of push those projects and programs
forward. Small but mighty.
Yeah, but then there's, you know, we get the fame and fortune, but there's all the people who drive the trucks.
Right.
The people
they're doing
who
the work on the, yes, on the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thank you for bringing that up. We forget that. Those are the forgotten faces. And they're the ones that are really out there making a difference. And Christina always wants me to go on a tour of the dump. That shows her level of commitment.
Yes, and it is a landfill.
Sorry.
I would slap my hand if I let us get away with
please
that.
Please don't. I'm taking that back. The landfill.
Yeah. So a big shout out to those folks.
And then what are the city is doing other things when it comes to what I call moving the green needle forward. Can you mention some of the excellent work that you've done? I can shout out for you, but tell me some of the things that you've done, some of the high-level highlights of the city when it comes to sustainability in general.
You know, let me make a short list at least of things I know are happening right now. Because like I said, in energy, we've been working for 20 years. We have one of the most progressive water utilities in the country.
Right on.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I mentioned our waste diversion team, but we have, by the end of the year, we'll have a new bike share program working. 36
bike
stations.
Share?
Yeah.
That's exciting
We're
as heck.
We're 330 bikes. I'm going to leave you this list with contact information.
Okay. Sounds like a show.
You know, with our water efficiency, I'm not in charge of any of these programs, but those folks have rebate programs for toilets, washers, rainwater harvesting. There's education outreach, free SmartScape program in both English and Spanish, by the way, bilingual. Collaboration with the University of Arizona, Pima County, and the Ag Extension Services. So we're really out there trying to get the word out about water efficiency.
And it's award-winning. I mean, the City of Tucson, the Water Department, is another sponsor and partner of Mrs. Greens with Candace Ruprecht and Fernando Molina and those people. And it's another award-winning. If you're getting to have Phoenix to send you water and storing it for whatever the future may bring, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
And the people at the City of Tucson Water Department, they have really looked into the future and have done everything they can. So I'm really glad you mentioned that. I had no idea. And I know they're going to be, I'm going to make sure we send copies of the podcast to them.
Excellent. And, you know, we also have neighborhood scale stormwater harvesting program.
What is that?
Well, there's grants available for installations of green infrastructure and vegetation plantings in residential neighborhoods. So it's like, call it a mini block grant kind of idea for green infrastructure.
And that matters too. Like when I love being Mrs. Green. We were talking about I'm 10 years old now, right? But when you have the people from you know, watershed management, Joaquin. Uh-huh. I mean, I get him to speak as much as he will. I have all these engagements and have him speaking at Rotary, and he's tell such a story. And why it matters so much that we try to do stormwater abatement.
Yeah.
It would change the city of Tucson. When he talks about that river that we could be going down, yeah, called the Santa Cruz, and he said, in 50 years we could have it. And I said, could you, like, make it 30 so I'm still here?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure about 50, but they're another impressive effort to make sure that we're doing everything we can to conserve water. So that's another one. That's awesome.
Absolutely. And then the list is kind of very long. You know, we're constantly trying to figure out how to manage the transition to electrified transportation. And there's a lot of questions that go into that. It's not as simple as just buying electric cars. We've invested heavily in compressed natural gas infrastructure, which, while it's still a hydrocarbon, our local emissions are reduced, yes, by up to 70% compared to old diesels that we've been driving around.
Yes.
It also gives us more resiliency, which is really important when you're talking about, I prefer that term really to a lot of the other ones that we sometimes use, because it's specific. We own and operate our own fueling station, you know.
And that matters too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is really independence. When you think about some of the things going on around the country now, mm-hmm, all of those things matter. For one of my favorite expressions is the faceless villain of climate change.
Uh-huh.
And people that I'm talking to, even in a meeting I had this morning, we're doing an interview with KXEI, a wonderful local radio station, about it's not so faceless anymore. It's getting in our face. And we're starting to see with, you know, Harvey and then, mm-hmm, Irma right on the tail. It's devastating. So, yeah, you're right. Anything we can do to be independent of supply and keep it here is a really good plan.
Yeah, I think we could be so good at it that we actually would have export economy of our sustainable methodologies.
That's wonderful.
Resources, practices, cultures.
Especially with all the things going on at the U of A. I always, mm-hmm, want to give shout outs to them. I mean, there are so many leaders in innovation, and getting Noam Chomsky here. I mean,
yeah,
the list goes on. So it's really good stuff. Is there anything else you want to add to the kudos? That's an impressive list, and I want you to keep it with me. It's great Facebook fodder.
Yeah, there'll be more. And since you mentioned U of A, one of the other cool things we're doing is working with the sustainability department, Ben Champion and his team. They're organizing a group of sustainability interns, and we've already had three come through our doors. And while we're trying to become better stewards and hosts for those interns, they're drawing connections between our department, different departments where they might be placed in the city, different organizations around our region, the county, and that's really the U of A's influence and sort of insight about how to build a stronger network and then also provide a needed human resource, intelligence to our team, youth and enthusiasm and smarts to our team. So I wanted to.
And I was talking to Christina about it, and she lost her intern, and we all weep when that happens,
yeah,
because they help and they bring new energy, new perspective, that young look, literally fresh look.
She was gone. Dang it.
That's what she said, dang it. But she moved into some other area for sustainability,
okay,
I believe. I'm not sure. But
well, that's
anyway,
the goal.
I know, that's the goal. Okay, so that's a lot. That's a lot of accomplishments, and it makes me proud of our city. And we just have to get better at branding it as such, mm-hmm, because it is. Let's talk for a bit now about solar.
Okay.
I have a lot of questions about it, because it's, to me, the sun shines here a lot.
A lot.
A lot. And I have this vision of solar on every rooftop or huge commercial solar fields, which TEP is doing. The University of Arizona is adding to.
Mm-hmm.
So how much city does the solar use? How's that for a question? How much solar does the city use?
The city right now is using about 4.7 megawatts, and we'll talk about megawatts and how this scales and what it means, of city-owned and operated solar. There's a couple little caveats I know we'll talk about. We also, which is really exciting, you talk about big utility-scale solars, we purchase around 10 megawatts of solar from TEP, from their Bright Community Solar Program. And we're already actually saving a little bit of money on that because some of that rate we pay for the community solar is locked, and the rates just changed. So we're benefiting from that decision that my predecessor made.
That's a good decision, a really good decision, leasing that.
Yeah, I like it because it's an economy of scale thing.
Yeah.
If we could assist TEP by all agreeing to pay for solar and what it would cost to do, that would help clear some of the log jams we might have in moving forward quicker.
Which we can all hope for. Mm-hmm. And TEP is another great partner of mine. When I look at their energy efficiency programs mm-hmm. and the success of that in terms of reducing energy consumption, mm-hmm. it's almost counterintuitive for a utility company, but their metrics are most impressive.
Yes.
And I love to shout that out because they're part of the solution. They're making a big difference. Okay, but I don't want to put you on the spot. Never stump the guest. But when you talk about 4.7 megawatts and mm-hmm. then 10 megawatts, what is that in terms of the overall? Do you have a sense for how much of the overall consumption of energy that is for the city?
Yeah, and I brought you my handouts.
Man,
so you can save that for later.
A little treasure trove of information here.
I brought you some things. Right now, we're at about 11% of our total electricity.
Makes me very happy.
It's not total energy. It's not our liquid fuels, natural gas.
Right.
It's
okay.
Electricity. But we pump a lot of water. Our electricity bill as a city is somewhere in the range of $24 million a year.
Wow.
So with the solar we own and operate and the solar we buy from TEP, we're at about 11% of electricity from renewable energy.
And you're really mm-hmm. determined and intentionally moving forward to raise that number.
Well,
is that a fair statement?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to be totally transparent. My job is a great deal about saving the city money. And I use energy efficiency.
Which every taxpayer loves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, we like that.
Yeah, and we need to use our practices to be financially responsible, too. I wouldn't be able to just say, let's spend an extra bunch of money on buying solar willy-nilly, and it's a challenge. It's a balance to be struck.
Right.
But this is all saving us money as well as helping us reduce our impact and carbon footprint.
And it matters just about as much as anything. So to me, it is one of those. You're right. You have to figure out how to save money, finding mm-hmm. efficiencies. And wouldn't it be great if you could convert to solar over the next 2 years? Those things aren't real. They're not realistic. I own a small business and I know what it means, but to me, intentional strategic planning is what it takes in getting the players on board. And just being able to purchase solar from TEP because of their solar fields, it's a positive thing.
Absolutely.
Really a positive thing. Okay, what about one of the things you talked about in the notes you sent to me, which I thought was very interesting, and I'd love you to expand on that. What does it mean when you talk about solar being a disruptive technology? It made so much sense to me when I read the notes, but share with our audience, what does that mean when you say it's a disruptive technology?
Yeah, first I just start off by saying the term disruptive technology might sound a little bit negative, but really it can also be very
exciting.
Mrs.
Green's World, no, we're disruptors for good.
Yeah,
that's a good thing. Let's disrupt the status quo. I love that word.
Yeah, but it also poses challenges. So here you have a bit of fancy glass and metal that you can throw in the sun and it will make electricity. There's more behind it. There's manufacturing, there's raw materials you need, and then something we don't talk about a lot is disposal. But here you have a piece of glass you throw in the sun. It makes electricity. Now, how is that not going to disrupt the status quo? It's so cool.
Right. So
and you can
that's the good part.
Further, more, we are for, our decision makers in their wisdom decided to consolidate the utility infrastructure so that the huge, huge investment was consolidated because this is literally, I think, I don't know the exact number, so I'm not going to say, but I think it's in the billions of dollars invested just to provide us what's called firm power. Really, really reliable electricity, which we've come to take for granted. And now individuals can own a clean, local, point source way to produce their own electricity. So that's really in the face of not just the model that's been built but also the engineering of the grid. So it's a big challenge, and so that's why it's disruptive, and the way that we do business is changing rapidly.
Right, it's not static.
Yeah, and the cost to install solar has dropped so rapidly that, if you look at the curve, it's an exponential curve instead of starting low and going high, though it's starting high and going low.
I love seeing those charts.
Yeah.
I mean, the drop-off is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Thanks to all of the people, it was demand. Mm-hmm. Thanks to all the people that wanted it, it has lowered the cost. I remember when Paul Bonavia sat in that very seat from TEP, Dave Hutchins' predecessor, and he talked about the cost of solar versus coal, and it was monumental.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's almost flipped.
Yeah.
So that solar is so much cheaper. And mm-hmm. look at how fast that's happened. And then about the community in Tucson, one of the things that I value and respect is we have such good solar companies here, mm-hmm. locally owned, not the big national ones that I say bad things about. I do. Not on the air, but if you're going to invest in solar, do your homework. Don't take the best deal on its surface and research. And I think about Technicians for Sustainability mm-hmm. and Geo Innovation and Net mm-hmm. Zero. And I know there are others that you can feel free to mention, but they are doing the right thing. And if something goes wrong, you can call them and they'll fix it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I hear the most about these solar installers, that their people aren't trained as well. You know, you call and the person that did your solar isn't there. That's disruptive in a negative sense, but we have really good companies here that are doing good work. The Solar Store.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to not mention them. Just good stuff. Support the locals and you'll get what you pay for.
Absolutely.
Lower cost, quicker installation now, younger companies.
Yeah.
So it's all positive in that arena.
Yeah. The installation speed is one of the major price drivers. What used to take a week to install now can happen often in a day.
Why?
It's just the processes they use, the type of roof mounting equipment, the type of storm, the clips that they use to tie the solar together. And just, I think it is training also. Folks know what they're doing. They've got they know what the codes are, what the requirements are, how to get it done faster. And imagine that,
imagine that. And I think about people that still bring up Solon, and I want to say, so move on with your life, because that was a bankruptcy. It was a big, huge timing.
Are you sure it was Solon? Was it Sun Edison?
No, what was the huge big company that
Sun
was
Edison
here? Sun Edison
was here. Well, there's been, the Solyndra.
Solyndra. Thank you. Solon is strong.
Strong. And
oh my gosh, if they hear this, they'll kill me.
And Solyndra. A few others that you've mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All of the ones you mentioned.
Yes. Solon is doing great stuff nationally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really are. They're a big winner. So I'm glad you corrected me. Oh my goodness. I'm getting sued.
Not to worry. They all have to fit solar in their names.
And they are probably not listening to the show, but you never know. Never know.
They will.
Okay, they will. I hope so. We'll send them a clip so that they know they got a free shout out. And all of those things, it still continues to be tumultuous.
Mm-hmm.
Many sides of the story about the mm-hmm. rate cases and how do you please all of the people all of the time. It just can't happen. So I'm staying away from that one. I want to look at all the good that's happening because of solar and renewables and getting houses retrofitted and all of that. It makes a difference in my world.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you doing now? What are some of the current exciting projects that you have going on? Because it continues to go forward.
I want to... very, very related to solar is energy efficiency. And I didn't mention this in my notes, so feel free to steer me back. But we have spent a couple years putting in place an energy performance contract, which allows, and we have 14 energy services providers as pre-approved vendors that the city now has access to. And in fact, as part of our cooperative purchasing agreement, so does the county and any number of other entities in the region that are part of our cooperative purchasing agreement. And that's a way the city, with little to no out-of-pocket costs, can invest in energy efficiency, because if you become efficient first, then you have to buy less energy, because solar is not efficiency. Solar is a different fuel source. So concurrently, while we're working the solar projects I'll tell you about, we're trying to get more efficient. I think we can become 20% easily more efficient, maybe more.
Important distinction. Yeah. It reminds me of my mantra. The first R is reduce.
Yes.
And that's what you're trying to do, yeah, is reduce it overall.
Yeah, if we tell the taxpayers we're going to just buy a bunch of solar to power inefficient buildings, that we're wasting their money. We love the solar.
So true.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're trying to do both at the same time. I'm really very focused on energy efficiency. And we're doing the pilot project, the first one of what I hope to be many.
And when you talk about that just a little bit more, mm-hmm, go into it a little bit for energy efficiency, it's things like insulation and windows and, mm-hmm, ceiling, mm-hmm, and those kind of structural things that, yeah, you look at to make the building healthier.
Yes. And in a lot of cases, we have items that, to no fault of our really amazing staff and facilities in comm maintenance, we have deferred maintenance items, and it's more of a funding issue. So while we're replacing air conditioners and lighting systems, the big energy users, with more efficient ones, and then paying for that out of our savings, we're also solving a little bit of a capital investment issue.
Right.
So we're trying to solve multiple, yes, issues, yeah, at the same time,
yeah,
using the lever of efficiency to move mountains instead of stones.
And another really big friends of ours at Mrs. Green's World is Russ at Southwest, and they, mm-hmm, have been educating me on healthy buildings.
Yes.
So it's not just energy efficient. If it is, chances are it's healthy as,
yeah,
well, but they are really focusing, and I knew that they do a lot of work with residential, but people can get sick from the building. So,
yes,
it's all part of that. That's really a, yes, great answer. I love it when people say on my show, that's a great question. Well, that was a great answer.
Thank you.
Of looking at it's the integrated concept, the,
yes,
thought of integration of thought, that it's not just one thing, oh, buy more solar. Not as simple.
Not as simple.
Not as simple.
But would you like me to talk about the solar then? That,
yes,
I kind of skirted,
yes,
around?
Yep.
Because...
do tell.
We also are currently working on a smaller project with TFS, Technicians for Sustainability, who are looking at expanding the solar shade structures that we put in at UDAL and also at Donald Liggins Rec Center, the two rec,
awesome,
centers.
Awesome.
We love what they did at UDAL because it provided shaded parking right next to the senior center, and it's a power purchase agreement, so they own and operate the system.
And we all love shaded parking?
Oh yeah,
might I add?
Yeah, even if you for some reason don't love solar, these
I'm
are
really
shade structures,
yes,
that pay for themselves.
Right. If you go to the building at the, yeah, top of the U of A, you're like, oh, thank God, they're,
yeah,
solar, they're shade. Okay. We have the 2-minute warning.
Oh, so already.
You do.
So I got to tell you one more thing.
Do.
We're also working with Solon, and we've looked at the city some 2,700 electric meters. We have a pretty complex utility situation, and we've narrowed it down to about 30 to 60 meters or sites. And we're looking to install about 5 to 10 more megawatts of solar. This is early.
And thank God you clarified that and got me on the, mm-hmm, straight and narrow about Solon.
Yeah,
they are,
yeah,
industry leaders.
They're here. They're doing fine.
Yeah. They're doing great.
All their folks are local. 100% of employees are in Arizona. 100% of their construction team is in Tucson. And what that means is if we can get this done and if we can get closer to the 10 megawatt range, which I'm not promising, it's early.
Right,
At the end of 2 more years, we'll be at about... 20-25% of our electricity from solar.
And we'll be having you back
celebrate
and put the bells on, and whistles.
Either lash me or celebrate,
yeah,
whichever happens. We'll see what happens.
I'm going to put it
we'll
in my Outlook
there,
so I remember to follow up. Everybody, what a delightful way to spend 30 minutes on my part is with Jason Laros from the city of Tucson. He's the energy manager. Our two upcoming shows, Lisa Biker from Leading Green Innovation at Bosch, another big player. And then our show, our next Down to Earth, Tim Bentley, Tucson Medical Center. They are true champions of health and wellness. Check out Facebook, Do More Blue Tucson, and Facebook, City of Tucson. Thank you, Jason. What a delightful interview.
Thank you.